Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. Welcome to episode number 359, and it's a wonderful day here in the heart of the bluegrass in central Kentucky, where myself, Stephen Zimmer, is broadcasting along with my wonderfully beautiful, great co-host, Holly Phillippe. Holly, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing better. I'm doing pretty good.
Doing pretty good. Well, you've had a heck of a week. We won't go into detail, but yeah, Holly had a medical procedure this week, and yeah, she's had a little bit of a rough week. But the news from that was good. So we got a more or less a clean bill of health on Holly, and yes, everybody here is relieved.
Well, I don't have a clean bill of health. I wish I did.
Well, it wasn't like. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
I was gonna say I'm never gonna be healthy, but you know.
I know. Okay. Well, I'll rephrase that a little bit, but nothing disastrous was uncovered during the procedure. Let's just say that. Holly is ready to rock and roll, and yeah, join the chat room tonight, folks. So it's going to be a very fun evening, and we got the big scoop for you. It just came in just literally like minutes before the show began, which is going to be cool. So chat room, if you have any trouble logging in, just refresh the page, and that should get you in there. And we do take questions and comments from there as always. Metalbeck Harrison keeps her streak alive as the first in, and I believe our guest for tonight is in the chat room as well. So this should be awesome. And Holly, I tell you what, I wasn't expecting to get this list, but I literally just have seen it for the very first time, literally 10 minutes ago. I mean that. I'm gonna have to read it the best I can, and I'm gonna have to do my pronunciations the best I can. But yes, tonight we actually have the finalists for the 2023 Imagine Awards are in, and it's been a definitely busy month for the committee because we got a huge number of entries. And so, of course, everyone that's entered gets evaluated by the committee individually. That takes time. But it's not bad because it got done in just a hair under a month because the deadline was, I believe, February 24th. So that puts that just about a month ago. So there we go. So that's not bad, Holly.
I have not wrote everybody yet. So people don't freak out if you've not got an email because – I haven't had the chance, literally. Send me tomorrow. I'll send out a batch of emails. So if any of you finalists are listening, look for an email sometime tomorrow.
Yeah, and we will go public tomorrow on all social media and website, and we will send out an email newsletter tomorrow with the finalists. We'll do a big blast about midday. Roughly on this, but this is too good to pass up because this is the official list. So we thought for our loyal Star Chamber Show listeners that we are going to have that for you tonight. You guys are special and we love you. So we're going to give you a little bit of a scoop, here. So we'll go through this list.
The finalists know. Yeah, how about that?
Yes. Yeah, you're actually technically going to find out before all the finalists know. So I'm going to have to read through this. It's a long one, and then we will get to recognizing those wonderful folks that brought you tonight's show, and then we will move on to tonight's guests. But let me get underway. It's a big list. For the 2023 Imagine Award finalists, We had Best Anthology. Okay, Classic Monsters Unleashed with editor James Aquiloni. It came from the Trailer Park, Volume 2, editor William Joseph Roberts and Jenny Wren. And then You Pay, We Stay, editor William Allen Webb. That's for Best Anthology. For Best Audiobook Narration, we have Rimworld The Rift, narrated by Walt Allen, written by J.L. Curtis. Smuggler's Run, narrated by Michael LeBlanc, written by William Joseph Roberts and Christopher Woods. And then we have Wildcat, Foreclosure of a Dream, narrated by Mark Boyette, written by William Joseph Roberts. Then we have Best Children's Book, The Clackety, by Laura Senf. Then we have Shivers, Scares, and Goosebumps by Vonnie Winslow Crist. Dewey the Drone Takes Flight by Gregory W. Brock. Best Fantasy Novel, we have Sovereign Fourth by Seth Dodd. Keeper of Giants by Stephen L. Shrewsbury. The Raven and the Crow, The Gray Throne by Michael K. Falciani. Then The Fate of the Realm by Rose Marie Machario. Best Faith-Based Novel, The Road to Darkness by Kenyon T. Henry. The Christmas Cabin by J. Patrick Lamar. And then Honor Bound by Haley Bridgman. Best Historical Fiction Novel, Sigrid and Lynn, A Tale from Norvigur, and that is by E. Dale Lane. Two-Gun Witch by Bishop O'Connell. High Hopes by John M. Olson. Best Horror Novel, The Warrior Retreat by John Lynch. Clickers Never Die by Stephen Kazanowski and Weil E. Young. Your Mind by Summer Cannon. Best Mystery Novel, we have Adisto Heat by C. Hope Clark. Mosquito Beach, a Folly Beach Mystery by Bill Noel. And Daring Duplicity, The Wellington Mysteries Volume 1 by E. Dale Lane. Best Nonfiction Book, Forever is Shorter Than It Used to Be, Alma Alexander. The Art of Rest, How Shabbat Can Change Your Life by Rabbi Jeff Friedlander. The History of Professional Wrestling in Evansville, Indiana, 1960 by Sean Delaney. Then we have Best Paranormal Romance Novel, Gift of Fire by C.L. Carhart. The Night Walkers by Amy L. Bernstein. Sons of Ymir, Eric by Lilith St. Crow. Antonio by D.B. Reynolds. Best Poetry Collection, Single Author, Requiem for Dead Flowers by Shannon McRoberts. Maiden Mother Crone by Amba Elif. Poems of Fact, Form, and Fantasy by Sandy Lender. Best Romance Novel, Duty by Lilith St. Crow. The Unforgettable Summer, Nikki Lamers. And The Passion of Three by Aurelia Talix. That's Best Romance Novel. Best Science Fiction Novel, Omitted Pieces by Stephanie Hansen. Rimworld, Diplomatic Immunity by Jim Curtis. Sunrise Over Shippo by Melissa Olthoff. Consequences by Nick Steverson. Best Steampunk Novel, The Dwarves of Rom, Omens of War by Michael K. Falciani. The Strange Engine by Philip Ligon. Best Short Story, The Room by L. Marie Wood. Angel Wings and Demon Bones by Melissa Olthoff. Goat Shopping, also by Melissa Olthoff. And My Chopping List by Stephen Kosnowski. Best Short Story Collection, Single Author, Paranormal City by Stephen Oliver. Chronicles from the World of Guilt by Chris Durston. They Mostly Come at Night, Collected Short Fiction by Wesley Southard. And The Gods Must Clearly Smile by Aaron Christopher Drown. Best Thriller Novel, Hell's Hip Pocket by John Babb and William Allen Webb. Until Dead by Donal Ann Bell. And then Task Force Zombie, Not Enough Bullets by William Allen Webb. Best Urban Fantasy Novel, Love, Lies, and Hocus Pocus, Cat Mischief by Lydia Shearer. Scatter of Light by Diana Farrow Francis. And then Chaos Song by L.R. Braden. Then we have Best Young Adult Novel, and that is co-authored, Into the Real, co-authored by Lydia Shearer and John Ringo. Sword and Sorcery, Frostfire by Ethan Avery. The Hostage in Hiding by Henry Vogel. And Deadly Setup by Lynn Slaughter. Best Game Module Rulebook, Goblonia by Robert Turk. Best Graphic Novel Comic Book, Kolchak, The Night Stalker 50th Anniversary by James Aquiloni. And then we have Bouncy Ball Man by Caleb York. And then Best Song Lyrics, we have Waterfalls by Lena and Amy Lee McCorkle. And Breathe in the Fire by Jason William Allen. And those folks are your finalists in a massive field for 2023. Congratulations to all finalists. Wow, that was a list, Holly. That's a lot. I got through it, though. So, yeah, I know that Holly's going to be notifying a lot of people tomorrow because he's in charge of notifications for all the folks that are out there. But yeah, this was a very big field and a lot of competition this year, but some really, really good stuff in this. So good luck. And to all that move on now to the jury and that will be announced live, of course, at the awards banquet during Imaginarium weekend on July 15th. So yes, that's a lot, but we've got it. But yeah, the whole list will be published tomorrow and again on the website, social media, the email newsletter and everything. So that will go out. But you guys got the first scoop tonight. Congratulations. Yeah, that is awesome. And so there you go. There you go. any comments, Holly? Because this is a big group this year. I know I'm not on the committee for this. So, I do know that there was a massive number of entries. So yeah, this is competitive to say the least.
We had more than we've ever had. We've even had international. So every year it grows, but yeah, this year was like, whoa. So yeah,
crazy.
There were a few, but great group. The competition is getting harder and harder. I mean, which is a good thing, you know? It is vetted. I do have to get the email.
Yeah, the committee has to go through a lot. Yeah.
Yes,
and we have to double
a lot of vetting.
A lot of vetting. And then we also have to also double verify. Yeah. That everybody, is filled in that you have the timestamp on the entries and then make sure that everything was released in 2022 and a whole lot of detail goes into this, but that's good. And, but I do want to also say that we did, like I said, every week we got stuff being added to the convention and we do have some, I do want to quickly let you know that we did have some new workshop and panel additions added for this year. I'll read those real quick and then we're going to go straight to tonight's sponsors. But we had on workshops, we had How to Weasel Your Way into a Shared Universe, Steverson and William Allen Webb, Making It on Your Own Terms, presenter Amy Lee McCorkle, Understanding Amazon's Algorithms, presenter Chazity Bolin. We'll probably need a stadium to hold the number of people that probably want to go to that one. Understanding Amazon's Algorithms, because Chazity does know it well. A lot of great information about Amazon will be in that workshop. New panel additions, we have some new ones. James Sabata panels are amazing, let me tell you, whenever he's involved, and Holly loves working with him on these. And so we had his three have been made official. Horrors Against Humanity and the moderators, James Sabata and Donald Guillory. Kill Mary Shag, Horror Edition, moderator James Sabata. And So You Want to Be a Podcaster, moderators James Sabata, Donald Guillory. We do have that in our filmmaking section on the website, the podcaster one, because that definitely pertains to all sorts of stuff like streaming and doing video podcasts and everything. So that's going to have a lot of good info in it. But yeah, as you can see, a lot of stuff going on here. So. We'll go over real quick to tonight's sponsors. And tonight we have for you Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender. And joining her tonight in the sponsor slots is Per Bostet Publications. And, of course, the triumvirate of Teely Harris, Marion Allen, and Sarah Marion. So here you go with a little bit from Sandy, and then we'll give you a little info about Per Bostet. So here you go, Sandy Lender.
Author Sandy Lender invites you to visit her website at authorsandylender.com to pick out a new favorite story to read this spring. You're sure to find a strong young lady, a clever vampire, a self-assured fairy, or a fabulous dragon to join on a new journey. Start your next adventure at authorsandylender.com and make some new quest friends. Welcome to Sandy's various fantasy worlds, where some days you just want the dragon to win.
Thank you, Sandy Lender, and I hope you're relaxing after an exciting week spent in Las Vegas. Yeah, Sandy, we should have Sandy on for a second segment just to talk about her adventures in Las Vegas, but she is back and back home, and so hopefully she's resting up tonight and getting to check out the show. And now for Per Bostet. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye, David Blaze, and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico and A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at perbostetpublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at In Conjunction in Indianapolis and Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July. And Prime Crime, I know they'll be back to that in October. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. And so thank you very much to Per Bostet. Yeah, definitely pick up some of their stuff and tell them thank you for supporting the show, and we love you. We love you guys. So, our guest is on deck, and so, yes, here we go. And this is a returning guest who actually will be at Imaginarium this summer as an exhibitor, so you will get to meet our guest in person, but definitely a returning guest to the Star Chamber Show. Very excited because tonight's guest is an author, game designer, and podcaster, and the creative director of Arthadian Anthologies and lore master for the Reborn Empower tabletop role-playing game. Our guest tonight has also laid down the foundation for a new expanding universe that is known as the Core Realms, and also has a 150-plus anthology-based podcast with epic audio fiction sagas and the Reborn Empower series. And so you know, I think, who's coming aboard right now? The one, the only, M.S. Arthadian. And you should be live. Your mic should be on. Welcome to the Star Chamber again.
Thank you for having me for the third time, I believe.
Yes, yes. This is the trifecta episode for you,
I believe.
The
trifecta.
Yeah, yeah. That's a word that fits for us Kentuckians because, you know, we're right by the, you know, Kentucky Derby and all that. So trifecta is a word that comes with a wonderful connotation and definitely is rewarding if you happen to hit the trifecta as a better. So, but glad to have you aboard and you have, I mean, I've just been watching you and you've been so busy and I've been looking forward to catching up with you and really excited about finally getting to meet you in person this summer and Holly as well. But tell us, how have you been? Yeah, bring us up to date on things in general, and then we'll start getting into some of the specifics.
So I believe the last time I was on, I hadn't started the actual live stream that I've been running for the past, well, since November now, so oh yeah. 4 or 5 months now. Honestly, I've been crazy busy. As you have said, I have podcasts, like 2 episodes coming out every week. I have a live stream that I've been running for Reborn Empower, my tabletop RPG. I've been working on a game module, a beginner module for Reborn Empower. I have a full, a little growing community over on Discord right now, and I'm trying to really build that up and expanding my horizons, trying to expand this universe as much as I can. And yeah, I've just been working as much as I can to expand.
Yeah, well, you are one of 2 guests that we've had regularly in the show that is truly created a creative universe, and one that has got a very multifaceted aspect as far as in terms of media. I mean, it can go toward gaming, mm-hmm. or book publications, you know, potentially film or podcasting. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, you know, limitless. And like you and Demetrius Witherspoon are great examples of what yep. driven indie creators can do. And but give us an overview as to your universe so people can get a sense of the genre, the type of storytelling, and like I said, we had mentioned about a few things about a shared universe workshop and coming up the Imaginarium, and that fits the bill here because
I heard that. I was like, maybe I'd like to go there.
that's right up your alley because I mean yours is a shared universe, but yeah, give folks a feel for your creative universe and its elements and you know all that good stuff.
All right, so where should I start? Okay, I have. So the Core Realms is this new expanding universe that I've been laying the foundation for the past, well, I've been writing for it for the past decade or so, but I really started kind of putting it out there in the public eye since 2020, following my podcast and everything. Basically, the Core Realms is divided into seven different realms that like are all their own multiversal beings and like energies and all that stuff. And throughout this entire vast universe, basically there are just many different stories. I've pulled inspiration from Star Wars, Star Trek, Mass Effect, the game series. Assassin's Creed is another game series. I've also pulled inspiration from Lord of the Rings. A lot of like big media franchises that I've enjoyed throughout my lifetime, and I am really big on science fantasy, so I really tried to bring in aspects of astronomy because I love astronomy. I took astronomy in college and cosmology as well, and also learned a little bit of quantum mechanics and then inputted it into my universe, and then also added energies and like gods and deities and all that stuff into the universe. So there's all these different storylines that are taking place. And when it comes to immersing yourself into it, I developed a game called Reborn in Power. The whole concept of the Core Realms, the major theme that is underlined within all the stories is the idea of rebirth. And when you die, basically, you get energy kind of fused into you, and there's a potential chance that you are reborn with greater power. And then the whole concept of reborn in power is that you are a chosen. You are basically, you have more free will inside the universe than other beings spread throughout the core. And these chosen are basically, they are visited by the higher entities, the gods of the universe. And when they are visited, they are either chosen as a champion or chosen because maybe the god is wanting to manipulate you a little bit and kind of drag you down a pathway that you're not wanting to go down. And they see it as a challenge because you have more free will than those who do not have free will. So they have more of a challenge to try to toy with you or manipulate you in some regard.
Yeah, that's.
There's a lot more that goes into it.
Well, I know it tried to take you, like several episodes to go through all the depth, and certainly it just continued to grow. But I definitely wanted people to get a kind of a basis for it. I love the term science fantasy because we've been having a little bit of a discussion on that. Holly and I have to where we feel like. One of the things is, the science fiction often, is excluded sometimes from some fantasy type of categories and stuff. But we've argued mm-hmm. that there are a lot of things that fall sometimes into science fiction that actually should be also recognized as fantasy because they'll recognize contemporary fantasy, they'll recognize like ancient world fantasy. So why not? Something set in the future if it is fantastical. And so we've always mm-hmm. kind of thought that's an interesting thing to look at. But I love your term of science fantasy. Yeah. That might be the right perfect term for it, Holly.
Yeah, because me and Steve argue back and forth about the whole space operas. You know, I believe if it's set in space, I believe it's sci-fi, you know, and Steven believes it's fantasy, you know. So we've created a panel, even at Imaginarium, that's going to cover some of this and get on, you know, authors.
Yeah.
From different genres to debate on this, whether, you know, space operas can be sci-fi or fantasy or both, you know. So
yeah, where the line can blur.
I would say fantasy is when it comes in when the universe or whatever you're telling, it doesn't take place. It either doesn't take place on Earth, or it's so far out there that it's hard to imagine it actually being a thing. So then fantasy is placed in there. Like for mine, it's the core realm, so it doesn't actually have Earth. So I consider it fantasy. Mm-hmm. But then I also take like some scientific aspects into account. I try to incorporate, you know, some actual like general relativity into space travel if faster than light travel isn't actually being used in some regard. So like if you're traveling too close to a black hole, then, or like too close to some kind of cosmic anomaly that has too much gravity, then the next time you get back to the world that you originally were from, like decades, maybe even centuries have passed at that point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, I think that some franchises can straddle both. I mean, they can, you know, have hard science fiction aspects and also fantasy aspects, or they can be hard science fiction, or they can really tilt heavily into like space opera does, which I think is, you know, does fit, you know, like Star Wars fits very, I look at Star Wars as a space-based fantasy in many, many ways. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, just
exactly.
Yeah, with its myth elements and, you know, and its creatures and all the fantastical elements of it. And as I look at it very distinctly different than, say, just for lack of a better franchise to compare it to, but Star Trek. You know, I think they're very, you know, obviously very different. But yeah, it sounds like a really amazing universe and you know, last time when you were on the show, we were browsing the website together, just the gallery of artwork that you had. I mean, it's just the artwork is just amazing, and I dare even ask what it's like now, because it's been a, you know,
honestly,
since you last done the show, but
I have updated the website a bit. I have like made it to where. I'm trying to focus more so on Reborn in Power as much as I can. And because I've been doing the podcast and I'm actually doing Reborn in Power series on top of that. And those are like those are some of my favorite things about what I've been creating is like the different series that I've been running. And then the actual live stream, I actually just recently today, put up on the homepage of the website, the actual video for the first episode of the New Age campaign, is my live stream campaign, for those who are wondering.
So this is like, don't shoot me for this, but this is like a kind of like a critical role for presenting how you play your game, sort of kind of like it's a live stream where you're playing the game. Okay. But just want to get a sense of that. So right now, your universe is presenting through the podcast and through the tabletop game, correct? And what else is out there right now?
Right now, so I have a blog as well. I usually post on my website, and then also I have a Substack. On top of that, so if you go to arcadiananthologies.substack.com, that is also where I post my anthologies, and then I also have like my actual podcast, my, and then I add extra content on top of that. I have some exclusive posts about Runeforgers and Core Command. Runeforgers are basically like my universe's version of Jedi. And then like the equivalent, I would say they're a lot more complex than Jedi. They're not just like, hey, I'm yeah. for the good side. They're more like, hey, I can wield all the energies of the core and then forge these energy stones that I can use to basically fight off any invaders to the core realms or anything like that. And then they're the protectors of the energies throughout the core. And I take the concept from Albert Einstein nice. That basically energy like is equal to like matter. So like everything is made out mm-hmm. of energy in some mm-hmm. way. And these are like the main energies that flow throughout the universe. And then I have Core Command, which Core Command is the head the major military faction within my universe. Think of them like kind of like I would say a more neutral version of the Empire from Star Wars. They're uh-huh. like there's some corruption within them. You can tell that there's corruption within them, but then there's also good elements of it. Just like every other thing within reality, you look and you find corruption in different places, but there are a lot of good people within those things that might be corrupted.
Nice.
So
nice.
A lot of new ones.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a lot to get into. And I imagine, yeah, for somebody that's new to it there, yeah, it can, you know, seem like a lot to dive into. So I'm going to mm-hmm. ask Holly to come in here a little bit because of the two of us, I've really enjoyed getting back to playing D&D again. And so I'm getting back mm-hmm. to gaming again. But Holly is definitely the of the two of us, the one with the deeper gaming roots. And, Holly, do you want to explore, like, how would you go about it, Holly, on exploring a brand new system like this? And what do you look for, like, in that? And I'd love for you to give some thoughts on that and talk with him about it.
What are we talking? Are you talking consoles? Or are you talking his world?
Tabletop game and getting into it.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm looking – what you're looking for is the – the interaction, you know, how quick the game is paced, you know, how much interaction and free play is there involved, you know,
mm-hmm.
like in D&D, you make the story up as you go along, you have your DM who, you know, kind of guides you, but you make it up as you're going along. So, you know, that's a big thing as far as RPGs is, you know, I want to know how fast it rolls, if it can be a, you know, drug out over several months, you know, where you could have several sessions, or if it's something mm-hmm. you can sit down and play in a matter of 3 or 4 hours, you know.
One-off kind of gaming.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's a few of those out there, too. And some nights, you know, you want to play one of those. And other times, yeah, you want one that goes on for months and months and, you know, can keep going. You know, there's mm-hmm. some that goes on for years, Dungeons and Dragons. So, yeah, that's really what I'm looking for.
Honestly, and when it comes to Reborn in Power, I would say, so this is kind of TTRPG speak, the tabletop role-playing game speak, basically, my game is, I would say, it's more crunchy and complex than other games. So for a new player to come into it, it might take a little bit more time for them to, like, understand it. But once it's understood, then it gets really fun because there's a lot of customization within my game. I consider my game kind of like a Lego version of a tabletop RPG where you can just pick and choose uh-huh. different things and then create your character based off of those things. You don't have... the classes aren't locked in. You get a benefit for the specific class that you choose. So like, let's say you want to make an assassin character, right? And then there's a bunch of different options that you could choose that are assassin based, but that doesn't lock you in. The assassin might say like, hey, you get this bonus stamina because you're choosing this assassin skill, but you see another another skill that says, oh, this is for the enforcer and it's not for an assassin, but you really like what that says, you could still go get that enforcer skill and still play how you would play. You just wouldn't get a benefit from it. So it's like it kind of guides you down a certain pathway, but you can branch off to different things to see if you want to be, like, for instance, someone makes a robot within the universe, and then they're like, I want to be a robot mage. And you're a robot, and then you make a mage with that, so then you can start using magic while you're a robot with a bunch of cybernetic enhancements attached to you. So you're shooting like a rocket launcher from your arm, and then charging this like elemental spirit in the sky, and then calling down lightning on top of a huge clump of enemies at the same time.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, we do have a question in the chat room from Clay. He would like to know, he said he would like to, you know, he's talked about it a few years back about making a modern board card game, you know, that's revolving around his world that he writes about. And he wanted to know if you have any resources that he could actually reach out to you know, give him inspiration or, you know, guidance.
So when it comes to, like, card games, I'm not too familiar with card games as much as I am with when it comes to, like, tabletop games in particular. I know there are certain resources that I've been checking out. I forget the site is called, but I do just recommend pulling up a Google document and or any kind of document in general, and just start typing away, figuring out what the mechanics are behind it, how you want to actually how you want players to interact with what you are creating. So if you're doing a card game, for instance, you would come up with the different types of cards that players might have, and how many you'd want in a deck. This is something I've fiddled around with Reborn in Power. I was thinking about making it into an actual card game when I first started making it, and the newest version of the system. Basically, like, what I was going to do is I was going to take each of the different skills and then make them into separate cards, and then you have a certain amount within your character deck, and as you, like, mix and match them based off of what your character has, and then all the players around you, your allies who are in your squadron, you'd all have your own character decks, and then you'd be like five against one, kind of like how in XCOM. Or is it XCOM? No, I forget which video game it is, but there's a video game where you have one person who is like the game master who runs all the enemy NPCs and all that stuff, while there are five other players who have to go through what the game master has kind of presented. And then that was kind of like the idea that was kind of brewing in my head. But if you're coming up with a card game or like any like board game in general, it's all about making sure that the rules, like, when card games need to be way easier than tabletop RPGs, like,
right,
card games and board games. And there needs to be step-by-step process of how you take your turn and how each specific card like will have certain abilities, and then they might cancel out other abilities. And it really depends on the complexity in which you are creating the game itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
okay.
would say, like with Holly,
Makes sense.
I mean, watching Holly, she's a really big Magic the Gathering player, and just looking at that game, I mean, it's impressive. I mean, just how many new sets and new this and new that come out just from a card game. I mean, so even that can, I from my perception, you know, can get a little more complex for sure. Holly, do you want to comment on that just a little bit?
Oh, well, hold on. Mr. Clay says he's adding to his question after he answered there. He said some of his books are military campaigns. some are quests. Mm. How does that match to games? And then he says, like, 1982's Panzer Blitz with Fausta's armies.
Oh, yeah.
Fausta.
I know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Panzer. Yeah, I remember those games.
When it comes to, quests and stuff, when it comes to quests, I would say, so something that I came up with in Reborn in Power is a way to actually customize your own quest that you could just do it. Like, you could have a bunch of different quests, and then there's, like, this concept inside my universe called, like, a mission archive for the actual core command, the military force and all that stuff. So you have a mission archive, and you get a bunch of quests that you can then pick and choose, and then you get certain experience points when you complete the quest, or you get both, like, the currency within it. So when it comes to like any like campaigns or games in general, quest cards would actually be pretty cool to be able to give, like, it's like a mini synopsis, like, hey, this is the world that you're going to, or the location that you're going to. Here's the person that you need to report to in order to get further within the quest. Or if you need to rescue people, certain categories within them, like a rescue operation, or maybe like you're exterminating like a group of people going to reinforce your allies in some way. And then there's just like a bunch of different nuances that dive into it. And yes, Dice Bag, we definitely need to get into the card game stuff. that would be fun. But yes, basically just when it comes to quests and giving out quests to players, I do just recommend coming up with really small concepts that don't, like, nothing too big. That's what I'm doing right now, honestly, with my main players, is just quest cards. That's probably the best thing I could recommend. Just be like, hey, mm-hmm. go visit this little guy who will give you a book that will take you to, like, a treasure, and then it says, like, be careful because there might be scorpions, like giant scorpions in this location. So then you know, hey, there's giant scorpions, and then that's something that you might face within that mission.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I could definitely see that where it has some tabletop wargaming elements, though. Cause, I mean, wargaming is, you know, a subgenre. I mean, we even have a guest coming this summer, Brent Campbell, and that's his specialty. He does, you know, wargaming rule books specifically for, you know, recreating, you know, historical military campaigns and stuff. But I mean, a game like yours seems so flexible because it can take a quest, it can go, you know, it seems like it has the model where it can go, you know, somebody wants to have a bit of a wargaming kind of adventure, you know, that could happen. Seems like yours could actually adapt to a lot of different styles of gaming, though, because it's so, you know, like you said, it's complex and it's got a lot of moving parts. And homebrew.
Yeah.
I love that term homebrew, but it seems like it's got a good outlet for homebrew and without
there
boxing in
the
player too much.
That's my goal is eventually I want to have other people just homebrewing a bunch of stuff in Reborn in Power. Actually, currently right now, in the month of March, I'm doing a creative challenge called March of the Core, and inside of it, the whole point is, like, I made a prompt for the entire month of March saying, hey, if you want to make some content inside the new expanding universe, you can make a command colony, and the command colony is basically like one of the worlds within the foundation region of the core, or like liberated by core command. So like maybe there was a tyrannical society on the world before, and core command came and helped liberate the people there from whatever tyrannical society there was. Or maybe it was like a world where there's like this huge energy well that is like mystifying everything, and people want to know more about it. So then core command goes out and establishes a colony there, and then like rune forgers come and do all this stuff. But basically the idea of March of the Core is that I give you different aspects to use in world building, and you create a world And then if it qualifies, then I'm going to run a full-on contest and then have like a few of my people help me judge which ones are the best. And then like the top three are going to win cash prizes. I don't have enough money to be able to do big cash prizes, so it's only going to be like $100 for the first place. Second place gets 50, and then third place gets 25. And then I also am giving away, for anyone who does qualify, they get a year's worth of subscription to like all Reborn and Power content. So that includes the actual rules, any exclusive content that comes out, like the like Rune Forger and the Core Command Codex. You get extra content that is specified for those specific things. And as I continue to expand the universe, there will be more within this year that you'd get a subscription. And then also your command colony, the world that you have built within the new expanding universe, becomes an actual world that you basically designed, and now players who become like lore masters can use this world inside their own campaigns and all that stuff to help expand the universe kind of even further.
Very cool. So Nate, it's like a subscription based model. I'm taking and you subscribe to like D&D Beyond, you get access to all the database of their, PDFs of various, things. Is that kind of how it works with you? Cause you were talking to me a little bit about, you shifted some things strictly online versus what you were looking at doing before. Is that what you're getting at, is like a subscription model that has a growing database of things like that with rule books and so forth?
It's a lot like that. The thing that I'm doing is I am giving access to all the lore and all the the world building and all that stuff so that people can read it and understand it. And then the only thing that's like kind of behind the paywall is the Reborn and Power content. I've spent years doing so. I've come to a realization over the past like few months of doing this that a lot of indie tabletop RPGs, everyone who is kind of coming up inside this industry, they usually give out their stuff for free, and it's been kind of eating at me because I'm like, hey, yeah, maybe I should give my stuff out for free because at this point everyone else is doing it. So then it's kind of messing up the whole thing. But also I've put in so much work into it that it feels like it work money all the time that I put into it. I feel like you should at least get paid for the amount of work that you put into something, and
sure,
let people decide whether they should pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, when everyone else is free, it makes you look not as appealing.
Well, Holly and I could rant about this as because the authors of the world have destroyed their the public's view of spending money on books, because authors, all gave everything away for free, all gave everything away for 99 cents, and the next thing nobody wants to spend much money on books, Yeah, we saw the shift in occur. We watched it, when all that became in vogue. And then all of a sudden you had a general public that no longer was willing to pay much for anything. And I'm like, it just mystified me. I'm like, we were our own worst enemies because, you're right.
Yeah.
You do put in the time and the creative work and the skill set, developing your skill sets to create all this. I mean, this has got artistic components, administrative components. It's got marketing and publicity components. It's got publishing components. I mean, you got a lot, you do deserve to be able to monetize it. And, I know there's some cool stuff you can do. I mean, with it being a tabletop game, for instance, I mean, there's some great, like Holly and I have some friends that are big into 3D printing. Like, I'll give them a quick shout out. David Sheridan, John Foley, and Matthew Smith, three guys that are near and dear to us, but they've got like an arsenal of 3D printers, and they do amazing stuff with it. But I mean, this day and age, I mean, you can make just you know, on an indie budget, I mean, you can make some beautiful tabletop gaming like sets and stuff. I've seen them on, you know, Kickstarter. You see them a lot of times, with little scenery pieces or figures and just beautiful sets that are completely independent related. And I know you could go that route at some point, but you're right. I mean, the subscription is that's not asking much, you know, to ask people to pay a small subscription fee per month to hit the database. And I feel your pain on that, because it's just amazing that, you know, just watching how people just give everything away, then how do you get compensated, you know, for your work?
So yeah, exactly,
that's tough.
And
Holly and I rant all the time. tough.
It's really been eating at me, that whole concept. I've just been it's fiddling in my head, and I'm just like, okay, what do I do? Should I lower my subscription to like a good price? But then I feel like $5 a month, I can easily go out and get a Starbucks for $8.99, and I'm sure everyone does that, $8.99 a day. Huh. And $5 a month is a little bit. The thing is that also when it comes to marketing, that's also a huge part of it, and I'm not the best at understanding the algorithms, as we know that there could be a panel about that.
Oh, yes.
And like the algorithms, I recently really started kicking it into gear on Twitter, even though it was really hard for me to want to go to Twitter. I was just like, okay, I have to do this, because this is kind of where the whole industry, where I'm at, like the TTRPG space, like it hasn't been big on Instagram. Mine's kind of slowed down there for me when I was on it. I haven't been posting as much as I used to there, but yeah, just like all the other like alternative platforms for being able to market the stuff, it hasn't been growing as much as I would like it to. But I've just been trying to chip away at everything that I could and test the waters, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's hard not to pull yourself thin, but I'll tell you what, I've got a suggestion, TikTok. I know a lot of people don't like TikTok because they think they're spying on you. They're spying on you no matter where you go. It doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, TikTok is amazing as far as creative platforms, because there's people hungry on there, and they love to watch creators' content. So, you know, you could get on there and say, hey, I did this and this and this today, add it to my story, or even, you know, do an example of gameplay or, you know, a new character creation you come up with or whatever. But that is a great place to actually build a platform also. And grab new followers that you wouldn't have reached anywhere else.
Well, especially if you get to the live streaming level, because they limit you, you know, before then. But I mean, if you could do a live streaming thing, and I know, there's controversy with them, but if you really get into the tech, I mean, your data is getting sucked up by everybody. I mean, Facebook's watching everything you do. Mm-hmm. I mean, so is Twitter. Yeah. So is, I mean, they all are. But if you can make it work for you, I mean, why not, you know, just use it as a marketing tool, you know? I don't think she's, because it's tough. I mean, I understand. And you don't have a war chest of money for marketing. That's not easy.
I have a TikTok account. The thing I haven't posted on it in a while. The thing that I've been using is the YouTube Shorts. So I stream on Twitch, and then I connect each of the videos to my YouTube account, and then that goes straight through to Rumble as well. And then I make YouTube Shorts out of my sessions that I have there. And I'm going to be starting to post up the podcast videos onto my YouTube channel, so that it just kind of shows like a static background with the audio of my podcast, so that anyone who's on my YouTube channel can then listen to the podcast if they don't want to go to, you know, a Spotify.
Honestly, looking at what you have with the artwork and the type of system you have and things like that, I think you also have the ability to offer some great merch for live events and stuff too. Everything from figures to T-shirts to, I mean, I think you could do some of those cool box set tabletop sets that you see out there. I mean, you know, hook up work mm-hmm. with a couple 3D printing folks and a couple artists, and you could probably come up with some killer stuff there. Because I mean, your artwork is mm-hmm. gorgeous.
Honestly, that would be amazing.
Series and that could be another thing for you, because I think that, you know, I love what, you know, you're coming to Imaginarium, and that's I'll use that as the example. But things like that can be a great place for you to showcase the game, in a live type setting and in a game room, mm-hmm. things like that. And, you know, get people to sit down.
That's
at the table,
actually
play
something
it.
I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually something
Absolutely.
I wanted to talk about is when, because I know that there's a game room, right? And at the Imaginarium where people are going to be playing
most
different games.
A lot of conventions have them. Yeah. And we do too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was thinking about running some Reborn in Power there as well.
We'd love that.
What I was planning on doing was bringing my podcast setup, mm-hmm. and then let people come up and have like pre-made characters for them to play, and then just come and have some fun and little small sessions and little missions that I run for them throughout the days.
That would be we'd
just
love that.
Just,
and demos are.
Get
yeah,
with me.
They're great.
And, we'll mm-hmm. get that scheduled, because then we can get it. You know, I always have the game room turn me in a schedule, of
mm-hmm.
events
mm-hmm.
and what games are playing when and all that. And we put that on the website, and we also put it into the handout, once you get to Imaginarium. So we want to make sure everybody mm-hmm. knows what time, each thing's going to occur. So, yeah, get with me, and I will get you with the host of the game room, and you can work on getting that scheduled.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome. That would be great. That'd be great, because I have my beginner module. Yeah, I have my big beginner module that I could definitely run there and let people kind of go through some fun little missions instead of it and role play a little bit as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
definitely.
Where. And you're in the good environment where you can make use of your artwork. I mean, as far as for promo materials or merchandise or, mm-hmm. Just anything. I mean, or if you wanted to offer like a little, almost like a introductory rule book kind of thing, that being like a small print run that you could do to offer something for sale that people could take home and get started with. Because, I mean, Holly probably can be a little more – comment a little more sharply on this. But, yeah, because I'm thinking of gamers like Holly that are coming up to you for the first time, completely newbies to your system. What are they going to look for? And that's what I'm thinking. Holly probably could answer that about what she would want to see more than I could. But yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, that's it. You know, how long is it going to play? How long is it going to take? And how many players can play? And, it's questions like that. Is it card? Is it board? Is it, RPG? What it's classified as? Those are the questions that I'm going to ask.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a newbie type
well,
player.
I'll definitely make a document for myself and start writing down all the questions so that mm-hmm. I can answer them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And then, I'll get with you and get you with the game host and we'll get you set up. You could run a session or two.
Yeah. Cause your artwork mm-hmm. will attract people. I mean, it'll intrigue them. They'll wonder what it is. Cause I mean, you've got such gorgeous artwork. It's been created for your system. And I know I don't know how many artists are creating for you now, but I knew it was several before. It's some mm-hmm. some beautiful stuff. And since you're going to be, you're going to be right in there. But this is something, like I said, I think you should do at a lot of these type of events, no matter what their emphasis is. I think you got a lot of potential for doing demos like that.
Yeah, that's something I've been thinking about, is going to different conventions and different spots where I actually recently went to a D&D club that was actually mm-hmm. within my county, and that was pretty fun. It was different because it's different playing with a group of friends online or in person than going to like somewhere where like there's a bunch of people that you don't know and you're just kind of by yourself and you're just like, okay, hi everyone, and then all of a sudden everyone starts coming up with what's your favorite class to play.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm a fighter, sorry.
Well, you
you're like, oh, put me on the spot, why don't you? Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, it's not like it's a good thing, but all the ruckus with Wizards of the Coast and how they ticked off their entire base not too long ago.
Yeah,
I mean, flip side, what that did is it interested people to want to find other game systems and other gaming things to explore because they got so ticked off. And I think that actually plays a little in your favor because I think there is a mood out there where people are open to trying something new. And so I think, timing-wise, I know the Wizards of Coast thing wasn't a good thing, but for you, I mean, it could, get people to at least give you a try, they're looking for something new.
After that whole debacle, I was like, okay, you know what I need to do? I need to find other TTRPGs that isn't just Reborn in Power and then learn the system, because I feel like within the tabletop industry, the tabletop RPG industry, it should be a little bit more collaborative than competitive. And I feel like having settings and systems, like with the core realms, I could actually go and homebrew D&D content, like D&D 5e, and make it within the core realms. And then players can actually play within the core realms, but with a system that they enjoy. Reborn Power, obviously, is my baby. Yeah, Reborn Power is my baby, so I want them to play my game. But what I was thinking about doing was actually taking portions within the core realms and then making settings within other systems that I've learned. And then basically those settings will only be a small portion of the larger core realms, whereas Reborn Power takes place throughout the entirety of it all, so you can actually play within it all with Reborn Power. But if you want, like a fantasy style core realm, then you can go and play like the D&D version of it. Or if you want a sci-fi version of the core realms, you can go and pick up like the Traveler version of it, because the Traveler is a tabletop RPG, like a sci-fi one. So it's like you can go into different systems with a certain setting. Homebrews within the system, and vice versa, technically. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like a good bridge, though, Holly, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for people trying out this game system, that would be very interesting. I mean, that'd make it easier for somebody that, may feel a little intimidated about learning curve with a lot of new rules and whatnot. And and that might be a good intro type thing and something that, you could try even at the convention circuits.
Yeah, exactly. The interesting thing about Reborn in Power is that I did make it to where if you are like a veteran, like tabletop RPG player or at least an amateur, you can eventually pick up Reborn in Power pretty easily. It still has all the same generic things, like you have the different ability scores, like the strength, dexterity, those things, and then you have the difficulty you can then rank up and then just roll to add the stuff. It is mathematics, so like that's one of the biggest turnoffs for a lot of people is you have to do math. I'm sorry, you can't get around it.
Yeah.
Right. You have to do math, and you still can't
do
math in D&D. Yeah.
Yeah, even D&D has some math.
You can go in D&D beyond now, and it does it for you. But, back in the day, we all had to do our own math. And, just bring a calculator. Everybody's got a cell phone now. So it's just like, you got a calculator with you. You can do math.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And there's also, if you have a phone, then you can also download a dice app and just like make the actual adjustment to whatever your bonus is and then just roll the dice. I know some people like, I love the physical dice, So I will roll the physical dice, and I'm pretty good at math, so it just comes to me, and I'll even like if someone can't do it fast enough, I'll like let them know what they got and help them out throughout the process playing the game. One of the things that like has been the best is I do have a few subscribers, so shout out to my subscribers. I love you all. I do have a few that are supporting me, and what is great is that I've opened up my community to where like letting people come in and create their own characters, and then when I have time, I try to run them through game sessions of their own. My first subscriber, he actually has his own series within my podcast, and it's been going on for now they're on the 8th episode that has been released, but we've recorded up to episode 14. We're actually recording tonight another episode right after I've done here, so that's gonna be fun.
Nice.
I do recommend going and checking out the podcast series that I've been putting out, because I include actual cinematic music into like royalty free cinematic music into the podcast, and then like sound effects as well. And I really try to hammer down on my voice acting and my ability to act the part of each of my characters. And I hope that my players also do the same as well. They're really great at what they do, and I enjoy every bit of it. It's my favorite thing to do, like pastime, is just playing games with my players and telling the stories that we're telling together.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's I can see you eventually also developing like an app too, that, you know, for people to play in a manner similar to D&D Beyond, but you know, where basically you have, you know, some kind of interface that people can, you know, work off their, you know, tablets or phones or whatever they have to play the game. But $5 is absolutely a bargain. I mean, that's no different than a basic level Patreon kind of participation. I mean, that's no more expensive than just Patreon or something like that for some a lower tier level. I mean, God, even Twitter Blue is like $8 for Android users, and was it 11?
It's $11 now.
Yeah, for Apple users. Yeah, but it's that's for Apple. Yeah, Android is $8. I mean, $5 is nothing. I mean, in terms of, you know, the subscription level, as far as cost. I mean, that should not be too cost prohibitive for anybody, especially people that want to support your system and see it grow. But hopefully, I hope that maybe there's a couple folks in this region that you know, that might be into the game, that might come out and help you, spread the word at the event, you know, for sure, because that's – you got a lot.
I already got my marketing materials for it.
Nice. Now, how are the artists going? Because they, if you want to give some shout outs to your artists, because I mean, that's they really do give a great presentation for your system.
Oh yes, I have some of the greatest artists. One of the artists that I've been using a lot recently is Ivory Void. You can find them over on Mines, and I believe Instagram as well. They've been making a bunch of headshots for me. I don't know, can I post those inside the chat down there? Is there a way to add a
No, you
picture?
Can post the link. I don't think there's a picture posting set up there, but not sure about that.
You can put in a link.
Yeah, put in a link though.
All right,
yeah,
well then I will see about finding a good link there. Ivory Void is one of the great ones. I also have Since Valentine, who did my cover art for the Chosen Codex. And then there is one named Emerald. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it correctly. There, a lot of them are on Instagram. I found a lot of them on Instagram, and they, Since Valentine did my cover art and also my energies of the flow disc, the different rooms and all that stuff, you actually can link that other one.
Yeah, because I wanted to
there
give you a chance to highlight them. They are so good, your team there, or the contributing artists. They're so good. Yeah, you got a good group there.
There's also another really good one on the Runeforger. On the Runeforger one of the Endowed here to me. Post this one too. So
nice.
That one, when you go into it, you'll see the Endowed, and it is an amazing piece made by Anessa. I don't know if you Anessa Brunel.
Mm-hmm.
She is on Minds as well as Instagram and basically every other platform that you could find her at. If you click on the image inside the actual post, you can go to her site as well. And then you can also go, I recommend checking it out on a desktop, not anywhere else, but you can go
right
to ArcadianAnthology.com and gallery. Mm-hmm. And
yep.
That
and
gallery
that is,
should bring you to the actual art page for all of my artists.
Yeah, and that is the mothership. Yeah, ArcadianAnthologies.com. That's the place you go. That's got quite a lot to explore on it. But I know that Holly and I both were jaws dropped when we were looking at some of the artwork over there our first time we went over there. Yeah, because that was some very impressive stuff. And does give you a good feel for the kind of style and tone and atmosphere of your system. But, yeah, artists are invaluable for that. You know, they definitely...
Yeah,
definitely.
I wish I could do what they do, but I mean that's why I've gotten so much art from them because they do amazing things and can bring the universe to life that in ways that I couldn't really explain. Honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good group. And who else is on your team right now? Because I know you got so many different facets. But who's on the – you want to give some shout-outs to anybody else that's developing stuff for
so
you?
I have a little team. They haven't – so, like, I'm kind of like the main person that just
right.
does basically a lot of the stuff. My main team, though, are the people that have been like characters inside my universe. I have
mm-hmm.
– there is – Liam makes scales. He's actually he does streams as well on Twitch. He does like video game streams.
Mm-hmm.
There is Matthew Waterhouse. You should definitely have him on as a guest. He is amazing. He is he runs
sure.
the Alchemy Lab, which is a D&D based YouTube channel. And he's had me on as a guest, and he's had several other writers on. He's an author himself, an amazing
oh, cool.
author. I should say, and yeah, he plays Marmaduke 9 inside my campaign, and that is he's a veteran role player. He's really really great. And then we have Orok, who is Alien Oven. He actually has his own like comic book style website. Called Magic Window Studio, and he basically does artwork. He also helps run the actual background, but I would say the virtual tabletop game that we play on, the map tool. He runs that for us when we're doing the live stream. So when you go watch the video. The videos and stuff, and you see like certain things happening on screen. It's him doing it. He plays Orok, the Redicon operative, and he's Redicon are really cool inside my universe. They're like basically my version of space orcs, I would say, but they're not like they're not bad. They're meant to be their whole universe is. It like surrounds the concept of sentience and emotions, and the pantheon behind these retcon is like about the different positive and negative emotions and the dichotomy between the two, and they have to reach like emotional enlightenment in order to make sure that they're not like, because they're huge, they're big guys who are like 10 feet tall, and they are intimidating as hell, and they will do some crazy damage to you if they're not calm and collected.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like the whole point of them. And Rock plays it really well as well. And then I also have the internet cryptid who doesn't have any socials is Sai Ashes. Tifra
nice.
Medina Tees is her character. And that character is a very interesting concept because she plays a robot who had her conscious mind transferred inside of it, but she actually plays this robot actually had two conscious minds inputted into her robotic body, so she is one person now but with two sets of memories, and so we like toy with the concept of having two families that are like imbued with one another because these two beings got infused into one body, and it's an interesting concept. And then all of them have like really great interactions throughout it. And then I also have a bunch of other players who have done some crazy storylines. My girlfriend's a part of it too. She's been helping me with it like a lot. She's actually plays one of the guest characters that's going to be coming in the future of the campaign. She also has like a little trilogy that she had in season 3, entries. That was entries 84 through 86 of the podcast. So if you go and search those up, you can actually listen to my girlfriend play her character, which is a hummingbird character.
Huh. Neat. Cool.
But yeah, there's a lot of people that have been working with me, and playing with me and all that stuff.
Yeah, I knew there was. I wanted to give a chance to spotlight them. Yeah, it takes a team.
It sure does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, because you got a lot of facets of this system here. And where do you want to explore, Holly, from the gaming side? Because you know it better than I do.
I was going to tell you, if you've not read the book or watched the movie, The Host, I highly recommend it because you were talking about how, you know, the two were living in one. And it's a sci-fi fantasy, okay? I just, if you haven't read the book or you don't have time because the book's very thick, just watch the movie and you'll get it. But I think you'll really like it, and you might even get some more inspiration for some other veins to go into. But that's it, it's totally different than what you're talking about. This has to do with an alien, and like the alien and the human are cohabitating the meat sack, so to speak, you know. And the whole movie is just, and the book is just great. I showed it to Steven.
That's Stephanie Meyer, right? That's Stephanie Meyer from Twilight.
A lot of people are like, what? Because she wrote Twilight, but she also did a sci-fi, and it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And it really reminded me when you were talking about the two in one, even though you know, they're definitely different, there is a similarity there, and I think you would really, really enjoy it. I do.
That is true. Yeah, that's funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's it. I haven't read the book, but I did enjoy the movie quite a bit.
Very
different from Twilight. Very different. Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Whole different ball game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's an interesting one.
No plot sparkles. No.
Well, speaking of books,
I mean,
plans for some book releases out of this, in different forms, like novellas or
anything
like that.
That is something Yes, the thing is that I'm so busy with my game that I don't have enough time to write the things that I've been wanting to do. I have a concept for a comic book that I want to do.
Nice.
I was going to do it, but the artist that I was looking at in doing it wasn't able to complete it, and had like other things to do. So I was like, it's fine. It's no worries. I also have a book that I was going to write that I am going to write. That's the plan. And it is pretty, I already have written about, I think I'm on the fifth chapter of it, and it actually takes place. It kind of ties into a part of my podcast. If you go to entry 90 of my podcast, that is where like the actual, like that is actually taken from the chapters of the book. The first three episodes, entry 90 through 92, I think are actually within the book. And then it kind of branches out from there. And I actually start to incorporate like actual, there's one action scene that is probably my favorite thing I've ever written. Because it involves rune forging inside of it, and just the intensity of the scene causes like one of the rune forgers has to try to teach someone in the middle of combat how to activate an ability like a wrist ability so that they could actually escape the combat, because they're fighting this crazy void walker. Which a void walker inside the core realms is kind of like an eldritch monstrosity being who's going to consume your psyche.
Nice.
And then use
Nice.
You as a puppet because they're like hive minds. And so there's like some crazy deep, like dark lore inside of it. And that is like one of the storylines. And then I also over the summer, I started learning how to screenwrite on my own. So I started writing my own. I already wrote the intro to it, and it is like I'm really focused on rune forgers because they're basically my Jedis inside the universe. So I want to like try to encompass the full feel for them, and they're the most unique thing inside my game, I would say, because they're so utility based, but they're also like they're all about the entire magic system that I've created within the core realm, and that they are able to forge these energy stones that like hold pockets of different types of energies that then can do certain, like different kinds of things for whatever you need to do within the world. But even if you're not a rune forger, you could still use these stones. You could still learn to use them. So if you have like a rune forger in your squadron, you learning the different abilities, then the rune forger can equip the entire squadron with runes, and then they all could use runic abilities, even though they're all not rune forgers. And then you can just do a bunch of cool things, like you could turn the stones into different kinds of weapons, like energy weapons that deal different types of damages. You could take the stone and then make missiles out of it, and then make the missiles go and damage a bunch of creatures in the area. You can have each stone add shield to them and all that stuff. There's a bunch of different possibilities for it, and that is like something I've been wanting to write the screenplay, and it really dives into this idea of what the world, like what the universe is like on a smaller scale, but also bringing in certain elements that kind of I pick and choose throughout of it. I love foreshadowing. That's like one of my favorite like plot devices, is to just foreshadow little things tie in little like loose threads throughout other stories that I've already made. And that's like I've learned that technique from Star Wars, from Marvel, and just like all those things, because like they have all the different like stories and stuff. But also I realize that there are ways in which as a writer, you need to be able to write a story like that can function on its own, and not
mm-hmm.
and be able to explain everything within that story, but still leave little hints and breadcrumbs for people to follow a different path,
sure.
and go to a different story, and then be like, oh, this ties to this, and then it becomes like a bigger universe.
Yep.
And that's like the whole concept.
Exactly. Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that's I think one of the most fun techniques is, as you call them,
mm-hmm.
the breadcrumbs, or I call them the seeds. I call them seeds when I talk to Holly, but yeah, when you plant little seeds, and then later I say, you know, either I call them payoffs or harvests, you know, when those kind of come and pop open to fruition in other stories and great stuff. And I wish you well, if you get Reborn and Power series on Netflix, there you go. You won't have any problems.
That'd be amazing.
Subscriber base.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That's, yeah.
I was thinking about once I finished the actual screenplay, I was going to send it out to a bunch of different people, even like the overall
mm-hmm.
at the Daily Wire. Because I was like, hey, they're making some cool stuff over there. And like, hey, maybe I might have a shot there too, because it aligns more.
Well, I know they're doing a lot of new original content. I know they're doing a lot of new original content with large budgets too. And that's a big thing. And, but yeah, it's a lot of things are opening up, but whatever you do, yeah, don't let Amazon get a hold of it. My God, I'm still chafing over Rings of Power disaster, debacle, whatever you want to call it, but I'm still, killed my soul. So yeah, just avoid that.
I am glad I did not watch it.
Oh,
I did not watch it,
pain,
but I'm struggling right now. I'm struggling right now with Disney Plus and them screwing over my
mm-hmm.
Star Wars. They're messing it up right now.
No, we could do a whole episode on this.
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about
we could.
The disasters, IPs, and just how these mediocre showrunners just have just taken IPs and just are so, you know, I'm about to rant. So I will stop. But I know what you mean. It's just been a nightmare with a lot of beloved series. Mm-hmm. I could go on about Wheel of Time. I could talk about Willow. I could talk about Witcher. I could talk. I mean, just awful, awful. I mean, just it's just sad. But keep control of your IP, Matthew. Keep control of your IP.
Yeah.
Don't let them get a hold of it. That's the key. But, yeah, I'm wishing you well on that.
Exactly.
But we're coming up on, I think we got, what do we got here, Holly? We got a couple minutes left. So let's get a chance to tell folks how to find you online and connect with you.
Find me online anywhere at Arthadian Anthologies or MS Arthadian. Arthadian is Arthadian and Anthology. Basically, just anywhere, YouTube, Twitch, the actual website, ArthadianAnthologies.com. And Arthadian Anthologies, anywhere you get podcasts, that is probably the best place that you could go to learn more about who I am or what I've created and the entire Core Realms universe.
Well, thank you. I've got a better sense of it tonight. Every time I learn a little bit more and I get a little better versed in it, and it's extraordinary what you're creating, and I'm wishing you the absolute best. And thank you for joining us tonight because it's always good to visit with you. And I can tell you that I personally am really looking forward to meeting you in person this summer. But thanks for joining us tonight, Matthew.
Yes, I'm excited. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Anytime, man, and we will definitely support your endeavors and have you on again and do what we can to support you. But Holly, do you want to close her out tonight?
Yes. Again, thank you for joining us, and thank you for all your listeners that tuned in. Please check out his website, and we'll have to post that in the Facebook group for you all too. Especially for those who will be listening to the playback and wasn't actually in the chat room. So we will put those links in the comments through the actual promo for the show and the Facebook group, the Star Chamber. And please join us next Wednesday night, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern, for another great show and another great creative. Keep creating, guys. Until then, goodbye.